Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
One.
Not even recording yet. Two.
Three.
See? Four.
Five.
Six. I don't have what it takes.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I'm not daddy. I'm not daddy. You can't
this
make
is it. This is your big moment.
I've you can't you, make me be daddy.
Thrown you into the water and it
sex
lets
bugs,
you swim.
Right before we got on, Jack decided that he's a cranky little toddler and that he can't be daddy of the show this week and I have to be daddy. But I know I'm eternally a cranky toddler. That's my appeal. That's why people love me.
What are we doing today, daddy?
I don't know. You tell me, daddy.
That's not nice. I didn't like calling you daddy in that context, especially on air. It seemed fine before we got on the mic. But I don't want us both calling each other daddy. Again.
Here's the thing. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a,
no, good,
you're
mood,
in a good mood. But you're
in a good mood.
Hoisting
you love this.
Daddy-dom upon me.
Just do it.
Has
Let's
completely
try it.
Thrown me off my game.
Let's see what happens.
I don't want to be daddy. I want to be Frogger.
What's that?
The frog from Frogger.
You just want to hop when
yeah,
you hop.
Logs. Eat flies.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, man.
That means you have to be daddy, though.
No, I don't want to be daddy.
Wow, Jack, we watched a film this week instead of
yes.
reading a book because you're lazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, pretty untraditional romance movie.
I had never seen it before. Had you?
Yeah, I think so. When I was a younger man,
I never saw it. I finally saw it. It's
scary. So scary.
Oh, it's scary. Yeah.
And I thought, I love John Goodman, but he in this role, too scary.
Okay. And now I'm slightly worried that we watched different films.
What do you mean? Did you watch 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I have seen that, so I can talk about it with you.
Yeah.
But that's not what I watched last night.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Were you watching it and trying to see
I was like,
the extent to which it's
get,
a romance?
This is going to get a little like spicy here soon. I don't love it. It feels like she's being kind of compelled to be in this relationship with John
yeah.
Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it like turns around and kind of gets cute, meet cute.
It's not cute.
No, 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 no.
There's aliens, and I think they melt somebody in acid.
Yeah. So yeah, it's aliens. It's all aliens. There's no, there's no romance. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of
10
aliens.
Things I Hate About Aliens.
No, it was called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, okay, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Sorry,
yeah.
And it's about
you're thinking of a different movie.
John Goodman and the aliens have invaded, and you think it's going to be the monster from Cloverfield, but I don't think it even is. It's
no,
just
I think
like,
it's like little aliens.
Yeah, they're tiny.
I don't know why we let what's his face get away with that.
Yeah.
Just pay, what's his name?
J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Just pay one thing off.
Yeah.
I'm begging you. Of all
yeah.
the things,
see what
of
happens.
All the like trailheads you've started,
yeah.
just pay one of them off.
Be even just be like, and the aliens won. And now it's the alien world.
And it turns out the aliens in 10 Cloverfield Lane were the babies of Cloverfield Alien. Fine.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, say
just
that.
Just say it, you know?
Yeah. And they were all
you
in
put
purgatory.
Too much work. You put too much of the onus on me.
Don't put it on
JJ.
Me. I'm not ready for that. You're the daddy.
Do your
JJ's
fucking
the
job.
Daddy. Now
do
you know what
job.
It feels like.
You're a storyteller.
Yeah.
Tell
you
me
tell
a story.
The story.
You know what a story is, JJ Abrams? It's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
And the end is the part that you've
the
forgotten.
The end, JJ Abrams.
Yes.
So the context for this is that I put a poll in our Facebook group, Baby Nation. Please join it. You can weigh in on stuff like this. And I said, hey, you know what? Sometimes we're going to be doing movies
off
now.
For that.
We're busy, and it's hard to read
a picture of your poll.
Why are you still talking, I guess, is my question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We're busy, and we're sometimes going to have to do movies because it takes a lot of time to read books every week. And there was a strong response, and people added their own options, and we're going to definitely be going back to that poll to pick movies from when we do movies instead of books. But weirdly, although all of the movies on the poll were romances, the number one voted film was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, it's like a pretty scary horror film. thriller.
Yeah, starring John Goodman.
Sci-fi thriller starring
but,
John Goodman.
But, you know, we do what you
Mary
ask.
Chapin yeah. Carpenter, I want to say
it's
her name
the, is. Have you seen, let me ask you this. Have you seen the movie 10 Things I Hate About You? Because that's what I watched.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've seen that. Okay. I watched that. I weirdly just watched that today.
Okay.
It was on HBO Max. I was searching for 10 Cloverfield Lane.
And you wanted a palate cleanser after 10
Things
Cloverfield
I Hate
Lane.
About You came up, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I remember that movie from when I was 15.
I was in college, and so I missed it.
You've never... last night was genuinely the first time you've seen the film.
Last night with my wife was my first time I have ever seen 10 Things I Hate
it's
About
It's good!
You
didn't like it.
No, I had a good time. I liked it. It was fun. It's fun.
It's good. It's pretty good.
It's good.
I saw it when I was younger and didn't think much of it. Not to say I didn't that I disliked it. I just didn't care. I was a 15-year-old boy. I was like, pff, pff. But now that I'm a 37-year-old boy,
you liked it.
I just thought it was a good time. It reminded me of my upbringing. There was a lot of ska inspired pop punk, you know.
Yeah.
Modern retelling of Shakespeare? Yes, please.
It's got...
Why don't we do more of that? We were so keen on that in the late 90s. There was Romeo plus Juliet. There was this.
Yeah.
That's it. But that's still a lot.
I guess that was it. Yeah. Well, so I read this today because I watched the film last night. And normally I do it at the last moment. Yeah. I reread the novelization of this one.
By the novelization, do you mean William Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew?
Well, let me ask you this, Tanner. Do you like hip hop?
Yes.
You like the sick rhymes of your favorite rap stars?
Yes.
Well, what if I told you that there was a rapper in the 17th century who had the best rhymes of them all and the greatest flow of them all? Would you like that?
Tell me more.
And his name was Bill Shakespeare.
Whoa.
What?
And you do keep referring to it as a novelization. It is a play.
It's a playbilization.
Playbilization, yeah.
Yes. I reread the playbilization. So I'm going to be kind of trying to bring some of that to bear.
Is it a short play? How'd you got it all in today? You yummed it all down?
I yummed it all down. Plays are short. Plays.
Not the long ones.
It's not that I did read it in an hour and a half.
Okay.
And it's different.
Is it different from the movie?
Yeah.
How? In what way? Does Julia Stiles still do the poem at the end? Iconic,
no,
right? That's iconic.
At the end of the play, Julia Stiles gives a pretty famous speech about how a wife's duty is to be extremely obedient to her husband.
Oh, okay.
And do everything that he says as fast as possible.
Oh, okay. Didn't sound so bad.
So it's
speaking as a husband.
Yeah. From the movie.
He's okay
in
to
that
me.
Regard. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like it sucks. I really I prefer the sort of edgy...
The movieization?
The movieization of this. What was it, a play or a novel?
It's a play. So I want to talk more about it, but let's say... should we say it? What it is about? What's it about? We don't have to do it in a minute anymore.
No, we do it on our own time.
We do it on our own time, and I feel freed from the shackles of that.
Yeah.
Let's say what it's about. I quite liked it. It's weird.
It's not weird. It's a teen romance comedy.
Yeah.
Romance comedy. I'm trying to figure out if there's a fun way to match those two words up.
Emancity?
Romedy. Okay. What'd you say?
Mancity.
Mancity is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a Mancity film. Go ahead. Describe the plot of the book.
Sure. The book or the play or the movie?
The video novel.
The video novel. Okay, let's see if I can remember.
And you say they went off the script of the play for the movie?
I don't know which order it is. I know that they're based on each other.
Okay. One came out, so the film, 10 Things I Hate About You, came out in 1999.
Okay.
Do you know when the play, 10 Things I Hate About You, came out?
I can't remember the date. Let me look.
I've got it up. 1590.
So that's significantly before.
Right. Except,
yeah,
a lot of scholars think that time might be cyclical.
Yes.
So there's a chance that like we're going back through time already now.
Well, and if you've read your T.S. Eliot literary criticism,
yeah,
you will know that modern works of art have an actual effect on the meaning of the canonical works.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. I've played Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fine. So we'll kind of leave it up in the air what was based on what. But let me say this. Can I say something about the play?
And where does 10 Cloverfield Lane fit into the picture?
Well, we'll weave that in.
Well, that's not our job. That's
J.J. Abrams' job. J.J. Listen, let me say something about the play.
Okay.
Because I had forgotten this. I read it in college.
I've never read it. I've read a lot of Shakespeare. I like Shakespeare a lot.
See if you can guess from watching this movie that is apparently based on the play. See if you can guess how the play opens, what it starts with, what's its lead off. How do you think it opens based on watching this movie? If you're trying to retcon, like trying to piece together what Bill Shakespeare, the greatest rapper of the 16th century, am I right?
Wow.
How he would spit those rhymes the beginning of the rap.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt moves to Seattle and meets a dork and falls in love with Dawn from the Babysitter's Club.
Is it Dawn from the Babysitter's Club?
Yeah.
Whoa. No. I'll tell you. These two rich lords,
yes,
are shooting the shit about a hunt.
Okay.
And who, like, what's the best hunting dog type of combo?
Yeah.
And they stumble across a drunken beggar who is so drunk that he's passed out in the street.
Cool.
And one of the lords says to the other lords, hey, you know what would be fucking funny as fuck? Let's take this passed out guy and put him in a like palace in a bed and have like dress him up and like have like servants come in when he wakes up and have like an actor play his doting wife and see if we can make him believe that he was always a lord who has been like in a madness for the last 15 years. And so they do that and the drunk wakes up and the drunk is like, what the fuck? I guess I can't believe it. You're right. I've been mad for 15 years. And they're like, oh, well, we're so glad to have you back. Want to see a play? And he's like, okay. And then they do 10 things I hate about you.
And then they do 10 things I hate about you. Okay. So it turns out I think I have read this play.
And it's The Matrix.
It's The Matrix. It's Mario 3.
No, it's Mario 2.
No, Mario 3 is the one where it's a stage play.
Yep, you're right. Yeah. Yes, it's Mario 3. It's a stage play. Yeah, it's Mario 3. Good, we haven't really explained the plot, but that's an interesting frame that the J.J. Abrams, who directed this movie, just left out. Just, completely left it out.
Tie up one of your loose ends.
One thing.
Who are these lords?
Yeah. Who are these
lords? Who are these noblemen?
We are. That's what he's doing. We're the noblemen.
Oh, yeah. We are two
drunkards.
And
we're watching it, and he just let us figure that out. Wow.
Just like in Mario 3.
Yeah.
You know, it took us decades to finally put the pieces together and figure out that it's all a stage play.
Yeah.
And that we're just spectators, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And Ebert said that video games couldn't be art. Tell that to William Shakespeare.
Yeah, tell that to Bill Shakespeare.
You know what? Can we talk about Bill Shakespeare for a second?
Yeah, please. I like it.
Katerina in this movie, played by Julia Stiles, her best friend is this like alt girl who's like way into Shakespeare, like sexually into Shakespeare.
Oh yeah, she's got like a weird role in this.
Yeah, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his best friend is this like dorky AV guy.
Yeah,
who does like a honestly like a 10-minute bike stunt at one point in the film. But he does ask Julia Stiles' friend out to prom.
Yeah,
and she buys her like a 16th century dress and signs the letter like, "Will you go to prom with me? Love, William Shakespeare."
Okay.
And then she goes to prom and she's looking for William Shakespeare, and instead she finds him, the guy, Mike,
yeah,
dressed as Austin Powers. And like she smiles and like approaches him and they dance. And it's like, well, what happened to Will Shakespeare?
She's got a Shakespeare fetish.
She's got a Shakespeare fetish, but apparently like she also has an Austin Powers fetish.
Yeah, the Shakespeare of the 90s.
Shakespeare of the 90s was Shakespeare in Shakespeare in Love.
Okay.
Right?
Not Shakespeare in Bill and Ted?
No, it was
Shakespeare and Shakespeare.
Socrates
in
Bill and Ted?
That's so great.
Socrates.
Okay, so that's interesting. They do a thing in the movie. Here's the thing I didn't like about the movie. They like, it's no Clueless as an adaptation. Can I say that?
Okay.
Because Clueless to me is like a true adaptation of Emma.
Okay.
It's a faithful modernization of Emma. In this, they discard a lot of stuff, which kind of makes sense because Taming of the Shrew is a pretty fucked up play.
Yeah.
I've relearned. But, like, they put a lot of Shakespeare wang on it. Like, they have this guy who
dresses
as Shakespeare, and they call the main character, like, in Taming the Shrew, Heath Ledger is called Petruchio.
Yeah.
And in this, they call him, like, John Verona. And, like, okay, their high school is called Padua.
Yeah, and every now and then, they will just sort of say a line from the play.
Occasionally they'll say a line from the play.
They'll like pass it off like they're doing a joke, but like
yeah,
they're just yeah, I actually, sort of doing
like, I pulled a couple of those. There's a big
pentameter.
Lines pulled directly from the Bard. At the 10-minute and 16-second mark, they're talking about how Bianca, the girl who's Dawn from the Babysitter's Club, is inaccessible and will never be able to be dated.
Yeah.
And this is a line from Shakespeare, he says.
Put her in your spank bank, move on.
Right. Yes,
I think that's from Shakespeare.
The Tempest?
Yeah. And then at the 11-minute mark, the girl who is her sister, who's her older sister, who's the main protagonist, Katerina, she's talking about the guy who we just talked about, who does like a bike stunt.
She
gets in a near accident with him on his bicycle, and then she says, and this is from Shakespeare.
Remove head from sphincter, then drive.
That's right. Like one of her sick burns. Okay. And then he says, which is, this is from the movie that they added to it.
Just a minor encounter with the shrew, the mewling, rampalian wretch herself.
Yes, and that one, that's from Shakespeare?
It's not all from Shakespeare. No, this is from the movie. Yeah.
Oh, right. That is from the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. That didn't seem like... It didn't fit the other two you read, so I wasn't sure if... I got a little confused.
But so let's say the plot. Joseph... So they skip the Matrix stuff.
They skip the Matrix stuff. They skip the Mario 3 stuff.
The drunken beggar stuff.
Yeah.
Where there's no framing. So I was like, well, we're just in
The Mario 3 entrance is so succinct. Like, how come you couldn't do it? Like,
yeah. Just fade from black. Open.
Curtains open. Red shell falls. Bonks Mario on the head.
Yeah. It's a stage.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All the world's a stage. And that's what that's from Mario 3.
Yeah. Though it does, it sets up some interesting stuff, right? Because there's a lot of deception in the movie and in the play where they're all like pretending to be something that they're not. And so having this framing that's like, we're deceiving you into thinking, forget it. It's not that interesting, but it would have been cool.
It's also like they used to, back before movies existed, they used to just take projectors and like bring them to small towns in like Eastern Russia.
Yeah.
And like the little babushkas used to like run out of the little tent theaters because they thought a train was about to hit them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I need that too. Like, I need someone to tell me that there, I need some kind of framing device.
Yeah.
To tell me that this is a play or else, like,
I'm just going
to
be right in it. You're going to think I thought I was at Padua High School.
It's in, like, there's cartoonish violence. Like, Dawn shoots a man in the ass at one point with a bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah. Sarah and I were, like, completely losing our shit about that. We were, like, completely fucking losing our shit.
Like, and it's just, like, a non-event. So it's like, oh, okay, now there's... So here's what I've learned from that. Because this isn't a play.
Yeah.
is real life. Okay, I'm allowed to just go out and shoot people with bows and arrow.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks.
Sarah was like...
J.J. Abrams.
Sarah was like, those are blunt-tipped arrows. So, like, imagine the amount of force she would have had to shoot to, like, actually get that to,
it
like,
really
penetrate.
Got in there. Yeah.
It's a very funny scene. Like,
stuck in his bottom.
She's like, somebody, I can't even remember what happens, but, like, someone says something surprising to her, and she just shoots her archery instructor with an arrow. And he's, like, just in the background while they're having this conversation, it's just, like, on his, like, on the floor, just, like, writhing
in,
like,
pain.
And clear 911 emergency.
She looks over.
Agony. Yeah.
She looks over. Yeah. She acknowledges that it's happened, but she doesn't go to help him. She makes her, like, best friend go, like, help him out.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. All right, let's say it. So the scene opens. The play, God damn it. What is it? A movie?
It's a movietization of
a play.
Playization
of a movie.
Of a J.J. Abrams
Zization. Yeah.
Of, I think, a book.
Yeah, which is based on some of the sickest verses from the hottest rapper of the 1590s.
Right, and it's also
Bill,
it's Mario
a little 3. Guy called Bill Shakespeare. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I saw Bill and Ted.
Yes!
He was in Bill and Ted, right?
I think so. So what happens? And okay. So here's the deal. This is different from the play as well. The daddy is he doesn't want the daughters to date because he is a gynecologist.
Yes, he is he delivers babies.
And he's like, I don't have my arms up to the elbows and placentas just so you guys can go around meeting men.
Yeah,
because I know what happens.
I do that for my own enjoyment. I don't do that for you guys.
Kissing, huh? That's what you think happens? Got news for you. Kissing isn't what keeps me up to my elbows in placenta all day long.
And so they can't date.
Well, no, they won't date. Well, yes. So there's the older sister.
Yeah.
Katarina.
Yeah.
Who used to be popular and actually did sex with the guy.
That's a reveal. That's a big reveal later.
Yeah. And he's got a... Well, I guess we could probably do it, right?
What?
Girth check.
Okay, great. This is a segment in our show where we talk about how long that dong, and it's girth check. And so Katarina, this is revealed later on. Why doesn't she want to date? It's revealed that she, in fact, did date in ninth grade, and she lost her virginity to the meanest, jockeyest guy.
Yeah, I'm pulling up his name.
Character. And he's not nice about it. And because she didn't feel comfortable going further, he, like, dumped her in an unpleasant way, and she has forsworn dating.
Andrew Keegan.
His name is Andrew Keegan.
Oh, Joey.
Joey Keegan?
Joey is his character's name.
Oh, okay.
The man is called Andrew Keegan.
He's called Joey.
I know, it's confusing. It's so confusing. You have to pull yourself, you have to remind yourself that it's a
that
work
it's
of
a play.
Fiction every now
no.
and then.
No. Yeah, and because they don't give us, J.J. Abrams doesn't give us any framing for that.
No.
It's so difficult. I mean, Shakespeare, who is, I think, the best of all of them. Better director than...
Certainly the best rapper.
Abrams. Yeah. He puts a frame in front of it where he's like, look, it's a play.
Yeah. But anyway, she did sex with him.
Yeah.
Joey.
But we know how long that dong, because she says...
Yeah, she says it's tiny.
Yeah, she says it's minuscule.
How is it possible that I did not know about this?
I warned him that if he told anyone, the cheerleading squad would find out how tiny his dick is.
Yeah.
So, but then the situation arises whereby the daddy says, nobody can date my younger daughter until my older daughter is dating.
Yes. And that's from the film?
That's from the
play?
It is from the play, but the play is like, it's got a different vibe where it's like, instead of being like, I don't want my daughters to date, but like, I'll allow them to date if Kat starts dating. He's like, I need these girls to be married ASAP. like right away, like yesterday. I want them both married. I don't care to whom. And
what about
I
these two
don't
noblemen?
Care how.
These but hunters.
Here's the situation. They're outside of the play. It's in a parallel. It's an outside universe.
Okay.
Looking God. In.
Okay.
Yeah. But here's the situation. My older daughter is like extremely unpleasant.
Yeah. She's pretty unpleasant in the film too. They got but that. They nailed that.
She is fun. She's like fun. She's like cool. Gives as good as she gets.
Yeah.
And he's like, because of that, I think it's going to be difficult for her to get married. And so I'm going to like keep this second daughter who has like a milder temperament, but it's also beautiful. No one's allowed to marry my second daughter until somebody marries my first daughter. But right. I do want them both to get super married.
It's like he's asking for all the local bachelors to set up some kind of teen romance farce.
It does seem that way. Well, and then this dude Petruchio rolls in and he said, I pulled the line. It's funny. He shows up and they're like, hey, so here's the situation. Like Katerina doesn't want to get married, but like nobody can marry Bianca.
His name in the film is Patrick.
Oh, okay. That works. But so like, hey, can you do it, Petruchio? You're like, you're fucking crazy, man. You're like, you've got like a twisted mind.
Yeah. Is he from Australia in the play?
No.
Okay.
They're like, will you try to marry Kat? And he says, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And they're like, well, she's like really mean. And he's like, here's what he says. I come to wife it wealthily in Padua. If wealthily, then happily in Padua. So he doesn't give a shit as long as she's rich.
Right, right. Okay, and that mirrors the film then, because Patrick Verona is an Australian bad boy played by Heath Ledger.
The Joker himself.
The Joker. Why so serious? Why don't I got these scars?
Yeah.
And he is accepting money from Tiny Penis Joey.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and before you complain to me, I'm not putting a value judgment on the size of his penis.
No,
I don't care. I'm
do
a
here.
Butcher. Yeah, I'm a Beepus butcher.
Yeah, we're Beepus butchers.
I'm just helping. The episode has gotten so confused between what's a play, what's Mario 3, what's J.J. Abrams, what's this rapper from like 1590. So I'm contextualizing each of these characters. Tiny Penis Joey. And again, not a value judgment.
It's fine, but he's not nice.
No,
but
he's
like, he's like, somebody's got to date Kat.
Someone's got to date a cat? Jesus, the play is so different from the movies.
No, in this one.
Oh, right. Okay.
There's a famous line in the play where he says, kiss me, Kat.
I love that. Okay.
So he's like,
I think I'm following.
Joey, whoa. Is that right? Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa.
Okay, I got it wrong. Yeah, I did it way too low.
Whoa. Whoa.
Joey is like, I really want to date Bianca. Is she called Bianca in this movie?
Yes.
But I can't until somebody dates a cat.
Right.
And he's like, you know who might do it? Is this fucking crazy Australian Joker who's like, why so serious?
Yes. Does Joseph Jordan Gordon's character exist in the play?
Yes.
Okay, and what's his name in the play?
I think his name is Lucentio.
Okay, it's not Cameron?
No.
Cameron James? Okay, so yes, Cameron James, Joseph Gordon-Gordon, Gordon Levison. He wants to date Bianca. He can't because someone needs to date Kat. He and
But he's also a nerd. He's like outside of her social class.
Michael Ekman, played by David Krumholtz, they scheme to pay off. Well, they don't. They scheme to get Joey, little penis Joey, involved.
Right.
So that he will.
Because he's got the money.
He's got the money. So they're telling him to go after the Joker.
Yes.
Heath Ledger, Patrick Verona.
Yes.
And pay him off to date Kat so that Joey, tiny penis Joey, can date Bianca. But in fact, they're actually going to snake him, and Jordan Gordon Levitt's going to date Bianca instead.
Yes.
And Bianca's dong.
Commissioner Gordon? No. Isn't he
Commissioner
from Batman
Gordon, too? He was in Batman.
Jordan Gordon Levitt's from Batman too, right?
Yeah, he fought Joker, I think. And she's dong, Bianca.
Yes.
Wow, what a ride.
Let's try to explain it from the beginning for folks, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be for the
Because I think this might be confusing, because what we're trying to do is try to explain this play. And it's a movie that's based on a play. It's a movie that's based on a play. So, okay, all the world's a stage. We're all in the fucking Matrix, right?
Yes, yeah, we're all Mario.
Yes.
We're getting bonked.
We're all
in the
Matrix or Mario. We're all, what's reality? What is it, right? Except somebody's putting on a fucking show for us, and we're watching it.
Right.
And what's in the show? Well, we've got the Joker.
Yep.
We've got Commissioner Gordon.
Jordan Gordon Levitt.
And the Joker. Right?
Yeah, you said the Joker twice, and there are a bunch of characters you're forgetting.
And a cat.
And the cat that everyone wants to date. Dong.
And Dong from the Babysitter's Club. Jordan Gordon Levitt.
Well, you forgot John Goodman.
And John Goodman. And there's aliens. Jordan Gordon Levitt wants to date Bianca, but he can't until the Joker dates the cat because the dad has made a rule.
Yes.
And so he gets Little Dick Joey, who also wants to date Bianca, to pay the Joker to try to date the cat so everybody can date Bianca. Yes?
Why so serious?
Let's take a quick break, and we'll... I think we've described this fairly accurately, but we can talk about some other stuff in the movie.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's been.
Oh, yeah, it's been. That's how I wanted to start.
1 week
this.
Since we went on break.
You know what?
Now we're back in.
You know what?
We're talking about Beefsteak Jake.
I looked up the soundtrack to this.
Good soundtrack.
Because I wanted to talk about
comes
it with
in
you.
Hot out of the gates. Film credits fade from black. Credits roll. B-roll of beautiful Seattle playing over it.
Yeah.
The soothing sounds of BNL, baby. Canada's finest.
Sarah and I had like a heated discussion about this. So it starts with BNL, right?
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah,
it's showing scenes of Seattle and scenes of Padua High School, and it's playing 1 week.
Yeah, it's been.
Sarah's like, is this supposed to like establish that it's cool?
Hip, cool, yeah. We're talking 1999's hippest bands, Bare Naked Ladies, Save Ferris, Letters from Cleo.
Letters to Cleo.
Letters to Cleo.
Hopefully Cleo wrote back. But then it fades into, I think, a Letters to Cleo song, and it shows Kat.
Yeah.
And she's being cool. And then we were like, Sarah and I were like, oh, maybe that's supposed to be a contrast.
Oh, they're saying like it's the fuddy-duddy,
cool,
like...
Yeah.
Top 40 bullshit.
But I don't know. But it's also 1 week is not. I looked up the soundtrack and 1 week's not on it.
Maybe it's some other one that they just lost rights to and they just like put in 1 week.
Like maybe it originally didn't start with that.
Yeah, maybe it started with like Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley.
People have to look it up, but let's talk about the soundtrack a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about a soundtrack, Jack. I have a segment.
Okay, perfect.
It's called Letters to Cleo Facts with Little Bambino Jack.
Okay.
And Jack, my question for you is, what's the band playing at Club Skunk? And what do you know about them?
It's Letters to Cleo. What do I know about Letters to Cleo?
They a real band?
What?
Are they a real band?
Is that a joke?
Nothing, Jack?
Yes.
I am rudderless right now.
You've never been joking.
I'm in the wind. I have no idea what's real, what's not real, what's fiction, what's reality.
Have you played Mario 3?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many, it's like many that. Times. Okay. And Save Ferris is in Mario 3? I don't
know.
No,
Letters to Cleo, they had a revival on Parks and Rec.
What do you mean?
I just like, I don't know how much you're joking and how much you're like leading me on.
Does this look like my joking face?
All your faces look like you're joking.
Here's what I'll tell you. Let's pull back the curtain. I'm the great Wizard of Oz right now.
Okay.
Right?
And that's pertinent, right?
Just a man.
Yeah.
Now. Okay. Just a man talking to another man. Don't know who Letters to Cleo are. Don't know if they're a real band. Full stop.
Okay.
And that's why I did the segment, Jack. That's why the segment is called Letters to Cleo Facts with Tiny Bambino Jack.
Here's a Letters to Cleo fact for you. You want one? I've got one off the top of my head. Since you asked, I've got a Letters to Cleo fact off the top of my head.
Yes.
One of the members of Letters to Cleo left the band to form Veruca Salt.
Okay. And how is Save Ferris attached to all of this?
They're also on the soundtrack to this movie.
And they're in the movie.
And here's my Save Ferris fact with Brave.
Porous Jack.
Porous Jack. They're named after Ferris Bueller.
That's not much of a fact.
Well, it's a thing I know about that band, which is more than I can say for you. Letters to Cleo.
I know a lot about that band. Here's what I know about that band. They recorded a lot with Real Big Fish, which 1999 Tanner was listening to an awful lot of.
They also had their first breakthrough as a band with a cover of Come On Eileen.
Sure.
Which is very on the nose. Like, Real Big Fish, Sugar Ray, Goldfinger were getting radio hits, and Save Ferris was like, hey, we're just going to go ahead and do Come On Eileen.
Don't be so high and mighty. Real Big Fish's like only hit was a cover of Take On Me.
We're talking about Letters to Cleo. We've got to talk about Letters to Cleo.
Yes, please.
They're the band in this. And
they're one of the bands in this. Save Ferris is in it too.
I know, but they're the main band. They like at the end of the movie, which is fucking rules. It turns out they all went to Hogwarts.
There's this diegetic, I assume diegetic scene.
Yeah.
Where Letters to Cleo are playing without any audience.
It must have cost millions of dollars. It must have cost like the whole budget of the movie. I kept thinking about like, so it zooms out and it's like, holy shit, these people went to Hogwarts.
Like, yeah, it's a beautiful like campus.
It's this huge, but they're like huge towers, and like there's like obviously like a helicopter flying with a camera, and Letters to Cleo is playing on the roof of the building.
Yeah, it's very Beatles.
They're playing their big hit. I think they're playing "I Want You to Want Me." Is that yes?
Yeah, yes.
And is it a real band? Fuck you. And I couldn't help but think that that was probably like 1,000 takes.
Oh yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah,
like they had to play that fucking song so many times, and they were all scared, and they were on the top of the roof,
cold.
And it was like the insurance was a nightmare to figure out, and
the
like,
helicopters kept crashing.
It was like windy, and yeah. But an utterly baffling thing that the Joker says about Letters to Cleo in this film, he's like, he's decided he's gonna fake woo Cat, played by famous movie actor
Julia Stiles,
like just to collect the paycheck on it. And he's like, well, if I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna have to pretend to be into like the stupid like Riot Girl shit that she's into.
Right.
And so he goes to
Club Skunk.
And Letters to Cleo is playing.
No.
Yeah.
Some other band is playing. They're not called Letters to Cleo in the film.
Okay, sure, but it's Letters to Cleo.
If I swear to God, Jack,
yeah.
If they included Letters to Cleo in this film and it's just our real world Letters of Cleo,
yeah,
then I'm going to have to assume that our big joke about whether or not this is a play or reality was actually extremely calculated.
Yeah.
And they meant to, they're like, oh, what do you mean? It's not a play. It's real life. Here's, in
this
fact,
is Letters to Cleo.
Here's popular, like, pop punk band Letters to Cleo.
No, exactly. But, and think about this. Shakespeare's in this movie.
Is he?
I mean, they rap like the teacher.
Yeah. They have this cool teacher who likes to do rapping when he does Shakespeare.
The teacher does a rap where he raps Sonnet 141.
Let's open up our books to page 73, Sonnet 141. Listen up. In faith, I do not love thee with mine eyes, for they and thee a thousand errors note. But 'tis my heart that loves what they despise, who in despite of you is pleased to dote. Now, I know Shakespeare's a dead white guy, but he knows his shit.
Yeah.
So it's like the movie's based on Shakespeare, but Shakespeare's in the movie? What is reality? It's a movie about what reality is.
It is The Matrix. It is Mario 3.
It's The Matrix. It's Mario 3. But anyway, Letters to Cleo is playing. I'm pretty sure it's Letters to Cleo.
It is.
And,
it is.
Okay. And
I looked it up. The band with the blonde lead singer is Letters to Cleo, and the band with the dark-haired lead singer is Save Ferris, and they're both in the film.
And here's what the Joker says to Cat.
And so is Chamber from the X-Men. We'll get to that.
He's like trying to like, this is him like trying to woo her. And he says, these guys are no Bikini Kill or the Raincoats, but they're not bad.
You know, these guys are no Bikini Kill or the Raincoats. They're not bad.
Jack, I have a question.
Yes.
It's actually a segment.
Okay.
It's called Bikini Kill or the Raincoats Facts with Man I've Known to Be on a Boat.
Okay.
Jack.
Yeah.
Because I've known you. You've ridden on a boat before.
Yeah.
With our friend Mark.
Yeah. And you want me to tell you?
And what are the, yeah, what do you know about Bikini Kill and the Raincoats?
Okay. Because
she sort of like, she reacts to the Raincoats in a pretty big way. She's like, yeah. You know the Raincoats?
Okay. Well, but okay, I want to just try to unpack
this
really
quickly.
They got
some heat on them.
And not to define either of these important bands by a man that was in their life, but
yeah.
Kurt Cobain famously, Smells Like Teen Spirit was inspired by something that Kathleen Hanna from Bikini Kill wrote on his wall.
Okay. On his Facebook wall?
No, on his actual wall. It was before Facebook walls.
Okay.
She wrote Kurt Smells Like Teen Spirit, which is a deodorant.
Okay.
And Kurt Cobain also, this is where they're connected through Kurt, but they're extremely important bands in their own right, and I do not want to define them by Kurt, but this is kind of how I am tying them together. He wrote the liner notes for Raincoat's album, and he was like, this is like one of the best, like listening to this is like one of the best, coolest fucking things, experiences I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
And so they're like extremely cool, like Riot Girl, punk, underground acts.
Right. Just like Save Ferris and...
But this is my point. No, this is exactly my point. This is exactly my point.
And we're talking about all the classics of 90s underground punk.
Yeah.
Bikini Kill. The Raincoats.
Yeah.
Save Ferris. Letters to Cleo.
But this is my point. It's Good super Charlotte. Weird to say...
Sum 41.
As a pickup line, this like fun 90s alt-rock band is no Bikini Kill.
Right.
That makes no... Like that... It's like going to a Bruce Springsteen concert with a metalhead and being like, this is no Metallica or Megadeth, but like it's pretty good.
Pretty good. I agree.
Bruce and you would, you would be like,
I'd be like,
like,
I
it's
agree.
Okay to like all of those things, but like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why is this what you're saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you, do you feel like you got it out of your system?
Do you feel like I made my point?
Music crit. Yeah, I just wanted to give you some space to sort of spread your wings and fly.
Thank
do
you
want to get back to? Do you want to circle back to Chamber?
Chamber,
the X-Men.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Cat is Chamber from the X-Men.
Okay. What is Chamber's one? Chamber's got a partner, right?
No, not really.
Okay.
But I can tell you about Chamber.
Yeah, please.
He's one of my favorite X-Men. He's oft overlooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was in Generation X in the 90s. His name is Jonathan Starsmore. He's from London, like you.
London, yeah, just like me. I'm from Brighton.
And he has a furnace of psionic energy in his chest that explodes out of his mouth and throat.
Relatable.
He's like Cyclops if Cyclops' fire beams came out of his mouth and throat instead of his eyes.
Okay.
And Julia Stiles is him in this movie.
Okay.
Because of something she says at the 1 hour and 16 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she avoids, she's trying to explain like her mystique.
Yeah, that's also from the X-Men.
She says she avoids doing what everyone expects her to do, and she avoids going to like the places that everyone goes to, like parties.
Yeah.
With the exception of Bogey's party and my stunning digestive pyrotechnics.
After that, I swore I would never do anything just because everyone else was doing it. And I haven't since. With the exception of Bogey's party and my stunning digestive pyrotechnics.
Ah, and that's what Chamber does.
And that's what Chamber does. And I think it's a pretty, it's a buried clue that she might be Chamber from the X-Men.
Yes. I had thought that it was because she gets super drunk at that party and kind of lets loose and then vomits. Projectile
vomits.
Yeah, but
that's not pyrotechnics.
On a swing.
It's like
no, you're right.
Vomit techniques.
She vomits on a swing. Yeah, no, you're right.
Pyrotechnics has the word has meaning.
Yeah.
Words
yeah.
mean things, Jack.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know Greek.
Yes.
But pyro
is fire, and technics is from techne, which means skill and or ability. It's what technology comes from.
Like a mutant ability?
My fire skill. My fire ability. Yeah. No, you're right. You're not wrong. So that's interesting, and that's an interesting thing for and this is what happens with J.J. Abrams, unfortunately. It's like, you think you got it, right? It's like
he's just getting his little hooks into another media property. He's like, he just gobbles them up. He's like, Star Trek, I'll do that. Like, 10 Cloverfield Lane, I'll do that. Now I'm going to do X-Men.
Yeah.
This is a really, really, J.J., I love you. I love your trailheads.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Much.
This is a pretty
just
soft
a, it's
one.
A cash
this
grab.
One is soft.
Yeah.
No one's... I don't even think that many people are familiar with Chamber.
Yeah.
No one's going to get this.
Can I talk about the movie that they never made?
I have several questions. Who's they?
JJ.
What movie?
This one.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a movie within a movie here that like never happened, and I was so interested in it. It's midway through. It's at the party at which the digestive
Bogey's party
pyrotechnics happen, and the party begins where it's like a bunch of like nerd bombers.
No, they're not the nerd boys. They're like the NBA crowd. So they do this thing at the beginning of the film where Michael shows Jordan Gordon Levitt around the school.
Yeah.
He's like, here are all the cliques. He's like, here are the Cowboys. Here are the White Rastas. And here are like the NBA kids.
Yeah.
Who are these like sweater vests wearing.
They're going to
like,
Wharton.
Yeah, like Biz Bros.
Yeah. And the Biz Bros are sitting around.
And the main Biz Bro is called Bogey.
Bogey, okay. And so they're sitting around like having what seems to be like the nicest time. And they're just they're like chilling.
Just enjoying each other's company.
And the bell rings. And Bogey is like,
oh, must be Nigel with the brie.
And he opens the door, and then like a party breaks out because everyone's like, let's have a party at Bogey's house without asking him. And so I just like, I was like, what would be the world in which we watched a movie where the party that never happened? Bogey's boys, and it is Nigel. Imagine the alternate universe where it's like, it is Nigel with the brie.
Right. God, that would be so good, except like, it's the wrong kind of brie, right?
Oh, fuck yeah. It's a Pont l'Evêque, which is out of season in the summer.
Oh, so it's going to taste stale.
I mean, it's a rindy cheese, but it's
yeah, I mean, no, it's brie, been in the cheese cellar. It's not like it's bad. Like,
yeah. This is Camembert. Yeah.
Why do you know so much about cheese? You're a lifelong vegan.
I'm not a lifelong vegan. I am a man who loved cheese with all of his heart until about 15 years ago and think about it all the time.
Yeah, so, you just named some good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like that part too. I think I would have really loved to. I liked Bogey. For a little while there, I was like, oh man, I could have played that fucking part. But no, absolutely not. Bogey's got... Bogey's got like a presence.
He's got a real presence
on screen.
And that's the line of the movie.
At one point, I think that same gym teacher who gets shot in the butt with a blunt arrow, I think at one point, Bogey also whales him with a like a golf drive.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. He's often just like hitting golf balls into the stadiums.
Into crowds.
The Joker does a big sing-song, doesn't he? He does a big...
He does.
And Sarah and I were wondering about this because he, when we watched the film, because he does a big sing song to her and she likes it. He gets in on the, like, she's doing her soccer practice and he sings some song to her. Yeah. And
I love you, baby.
This is, yeah, that's
it's quite all right.
He gets the school band to play along, and then the cops chase him. It's pretty romantic. But yeah, then he, cute. Like, he fucks up, and she realizes that he was just, like, dating her for money.
Yeah,
for a wager.
Tiny Penis Joey says at, like, confronts them at prom.
Yeah.
Because Bianca has decided to be with Jordan Gordon-Levitt instead.
And Sarah was like, I think very reasonably, she was like, he already did public singing. Like,
yeah,
what?
He sort of did his big move, right?
Yeah, and so there's, like, no room to grow. And instead, she just, I guess, just forgives him. Which is unlike in the play, for what it's worth.
Well, she doesn't, she does forgive him, but first she gets a shot off on him, too.
Yeah.
With her poem.
Her poem, yes.
Because they're assigned, in English class, they're assigned by the cool,
but the
like,
poem's like,
hip-hop teacher.
The poem's, like, kind of a reconciliation, a little bit. Because she does a mean
a little
poem.
Bit. It's called 10 Things I Hate About You. So that seems pretty mean to me.
But there's love in it, isn't there?
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much it makes me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate it. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh. Even worse when you make me cry. I hate it when you're not around and the fact that you didn't call. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
I guess so.
Yeah.
If I were to write a poem about you in this same vein, is that something you would want to hear? And would you sort of take it as a grandeur? Well, I guess let's see.
Yeah.
So, may I reveal something to you?
Okay.
I wrote a poem for you.
Good.
Perfect. Called 10 Things I Hate About Jack.
Great.
And I guess I'll read it, and you can sort of tell me whether or not it's a grand romantic gesture.
Yeah.
And a gesture of reconciliation.
Yeah. What did
I
do?
Or if it's a poem about how much I hate you.
Okay. What did I do?
Well, you're about to you're about to learn 10 things that you did.
Okay. Oh, I'm about to find out from the poem. Okay. And can I, I'll make a complaint about her poem now that
yeah,
I hope you'll take into account as you're reading your poem.
Not reading.
It's in response.
You mean generating?
Yeah, generating. It's in response to an assignment, which is like write a sonnet like Shakespeare. Right. And it's not a fucking sonnet, and it's not in iambic. It's not iambic.
And she even asks. She even clarifies. She said,
she's like, does it have to be iambic pentameter? And he's like, yes. And then it's neither iambic nor pentameter.
Right.
Which I found obnoxious and annoying. And I just needed to get that off my chest.
Okay. So let me know how this hits you.
Okay.
Okay. I hope it's a grand romantic gesture. That's what I was going
for. It's 10 things.
10 things I hate about you. And I didn't count them.
Okay. I'll count.
Okay.
And I'm going to count the feet as well.
Okay. I hate the way you're always late, mm-hmm. and the way you never care. Mm-hmm. I hate the way you moved away. I hate the heat out there. I hate your ratty sockinies and the jorts length you've defined. I hate staying up recording late. I hate writing this rhyme. I hate the way you're pedantic. I hate your fear of eyes. I hate it when you make them laugh, the sex bugs. The bed pots, those guys. I hate the way you edit sound. I hate your precious cats. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Except when you're really late. I do hate that.
Wow. That felt like mostly a retaliation.
It felt...
mostly...
Well, are we even?
An airing of grievances. Yeah.
Because even this evening, you said...
I was 9 minutes late.
7:30 work for you? And I was like, yep. Yeah. And then I came down at 7:30 and hit you with the ZMD king, as I always do.
Yeah, that means Zoomy Daddy.
Zoomy Daddy?
Yeah.
And 10 minutes later, you decided to grace me with your presence, your highness.
And
is it
because
I call you king all the time in our text messages?
No, I like that.
You have this like...
I like that.
You have this larger-than-life ego now because I'm constantly referring to you as king.
Yeah, I think that it does build me up. But then you knock me down with your poems.
Maybe you won't be late anymore now.
Yeah, and I'll get rid of those cats.
Yeah, I did call them precious.
In the play, if I may say so, before we do our burns and leave.
From Mario 3?
Yes, instead of a poem from cat to... The Joker does a big thing where he makes her say that the moon is the sun and the sun is the moon. She's like, oh, that sun's pretty bright.
That does sound like something Joker would do.
And he's like, no, that's not the sun, it's the moon. And she's like, no, it's the sun. And he's like, no, it's the fucking moon. And she's like, okay, it's the moon.
This sounds like an argument my 2.5-year-old son and I have a lot. He'll be drinking milk.
Yeah.
He'll be drinking milk and be like, what kind of milk is this?
Yeah.
And we'll say, oat milk. And he'll say, no, it's soy milk.
Like,
no,
okay.
It's oat milk. And he's like, no, it's soy milk. And I was like, okay, it's soy milk.
My rule with that is I will correct once. And then when he doubles down, I just say, okay.
Yeah. I guess you know better than I do. I fucking bought it and can read.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, sure.
I guess not.
It's soy milk. I'm... bothered, Jack. You said something a minute ago. Were you done?
I was just gonna say that, like, I rereading this, like, in college, I, like, you know, it's like a problematic play in various ways. But like in college, I found all these ways to be like, she's a fun character and she gives as good as she gets. It's a little weird at the end when she like does this speech about obeying him. But like rereading it, I don't know if I've like maybe I read it too fast or something. But it's just like. It really kind of hit me wrong. Like, there's some really fun lines in it, but it's like, it's kind of brutal. He just,
I don't
like,
think of it as one of Will Shakespeare's most popular and famous plays.
He gaslights her until she eventually kind of submits.
Yeah.
And it's like not that fun to watch the process this time around.
Jack.
Yes.
This isn't a podcast about films.
No.
It's not a podcast about plays. It's not a podcast about J.J. Abrams movies.
No.
It's not a podcast about Mario 3. It's a podcast about romance.
Yes.
And romance is horny and you look at you, you're eyeing the clock. You're like, oh, I almost got out. But no, Jack, you didn't get out.
No.
Because we still have work to do.
Okay.
Two prude dudes.
Okay. Two prude dudes.
Prude dudes, yeah.
Okay, so we find the sexy part and we make it less sexy.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a character we haven't even talked about yet called Miss Perky, played by Allison Janney, who is the school counselor who is writing in her spare time a romance novel. And Jack, I'm going to read you a passage from her romance novel now, and we're gonna take it from a hard R to a PG.
Okay.
Because that's our jobs.
Yeah.
We're two men who are mortified by sex.
She like kind of phases out at the end of the movie.
I would say she phases out about
midway through,
a quarter into the movie.
But she's a super fun character who's like, who appears to be writing a romance novel with only the sex parts.
Yeah.
Like whenever someone comes in for guidance, they like show her computer screen and she's just writing the sex part of it. And she'll like ask the kids for help.
Undulating with desire, Adrian removes her red. Crimson cape at the sight of Reginald's stiff and Judith! What's another word for engorged?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's not going to be a long passage. I've only got two sentences.
Okay, yeah.
Which we sort of caught in passing. But yeah, we don't know the name of the book she's writing. All we know is the name of the characters, which are Adrienne and Reginald.
Yes.
And the following kind of salient details. As his hand slid up her creamy white thighs. And that already
That's already too much. Do you want me to correct it or do you want to get to the end of it?
Let me just read this first passage first. Okay. As his hand slides up her creamy white thighs, she could feel his huge member pulsating with desire. None of that sits well with me.
Yeah. Well, member could be a member of parliament.
Could be. Why would a member of parliament be pulsating with desire?
And that's still too sexy.
Tough, right?
So as her hand,
as his hand slides up her creamy white thighs. So a hand sliding up thighs, bad.
Yes.
His hand could be sliding up something else.
A slide.
No, I think mostly slides you go down and not
you've apparently never taken a child to the playground.
What does your hand slide up? I guess it could slide up
strippers.
Tech deck.
What's that?
Tech deck is like one of those little skateboards that's like a mini skateboard for your fingers.
Okay. As his hand slid along a mini skateboard for your fingers.
Tech deck.
Okay.
People will get that.
Okay. His head slid along the tech deck.
Creamy white tech deck.
And then so we need a member of something. The member of the tech deck enthusiast club pulsated with desire.
Okay. Sure. Sentence two.
Yes.
Undulating with desire, Adrian removes her crimson cape at the sight of Reginald's stiff and engorged, swollen, turgid, tumescent, quivering member.
Okay, that's a lot of adjectives. Do we have to fix every one of those?
I think so. Well, no, not necessarily. If we can think of something else that could be described as stiff, engorged, swollen, turgid, tumescent, and quivering.
Lightsaber?
Honestly, Jack, you want to know the first thing that popped in my head?
What?
Metroid.
Okay.
One of the Metroid monsters from Metroid.
Mother Brain.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
checks every box.
Yeah, that's perfect. And so we'll just say Mother Brain for that, and let's have the start of the sentence.
Undulating with desire, Adrian removes her crimson cape at the sight of Reginald's...
Undulating with desire, Samus,
I think
from Metroid, removes
her
helmet,
power suit.
Her power suit
at the sight of
Mother Brain.
Mother Brain's stiff and engorged, swollen, turgid, tumescent, quivering... Mass.
That's great.
Now, here's my concern, Jack, is the first part is about tech decks. The second part's about Metroid.
Can we...
I think that's probably fine, honestly.
That's fine.
It's sort of a coming-of-age story about a kid who's...
in a tech deck.
Doing a lot of tech deck and playing a lot of Metroid.
Yeah,
that's fine. That's, I mean, that's essentially my story.
That's beautiful. Alice and Jenny would love it.
About time someone told my story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about time someone told your story.
And I'm glad it was J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Mario from Mario 3.
Yes.
John Goodman.
And Jordan Gordon-Levitt.
And Jordan Gordon-Levitt.
From Premium Rush.
You got a burn? You got a burn?
We got to do burns very fast. Burns. I pulled some burns from the novelization, the plazalization.
Okay, well, I pulled mine from the filmatization, so should I do mine first?
Sure.
Mike approaches the woman who is sexually interested in William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
At her locker. And he sees a picture of William Shakespeare inside of her locker door. That is how committed she is to being sexually attracted to William Shakespeare. She at one point says they're involved, which feels like
charged.
Some Tumblr kid stuff.
Yeah.
He says to her, it's that classic picture from the folio.
Yeah.
Of William Shakespeare in his big pomp. What do you call that?
Oh, ruff.
Ruff, in his big ruff.
Yeah.
And he says...
hey, cool picture. What's that collar for? Is that to keep him from licking his stitches?
That's funny. That is funny.
She doesn't
like
find
that.
It amusing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I've got a burn from the book.
Okay.
This is the dad, who in the movie is really funny.
He's really funny.
He's just like exhausted. His wife
there's
is
one
left.
Point. There's one point where he's exercising. God, there's so many like weird like physical comedy bits in this movie. But yeah. Like they also all sort of land.
Yeah.
The arrow in the butt and the bike stunt.
Yeah.
But one of the
physical
comedy moments is the dad is working out on his deck and Dong comes out and she's like, I'm going to go to prom with this boy.
Yeah.
And he like in a moment of like, what?
Yeah.
Like springs this like workout thing and it goes flying into like the neighbor's lawn. And next to him on the deck is an open hot tub. And the whole scene, I was like, why is that hot tub open?
Yeah.
Like, no one just, like, keeps a hot tub open.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the film, the neighbor throws the springy exercise thing back into the hot tub. And I was like, oh, okay. That's why the hot tub
That's J.J. Abrams finally tying up a loose end.
You finally did it, J.J.
I've got a burn from this book.
Yeah.
This is the dad. It's right at the beginning. He says this to Gremio. Well, no, he says this to Petruchio and his friend. If either of you both love Katerina, because I know you well and love you well, leave shall you have to court her at your pleasure. And then Gremio says, to cart her, rather. She's too rough for me.
That's good.
And the joke is that, as you presumably know,
she's like a cattle.
A whipping of the cart's tail was a common punishment for bawds and whores.
Oh, okay.
And the cart's tail is the hind part of a cart.
Okay. Yeah, I probably could have figured that out, actually.
Okay. Do you want another one?
Two weeks ago, I was at Costco.
Okay.
Not by choice. I was compelled to go to Costco.
Okay.
And while there, I backed into someone.
Okay.
But they also backed into me. It was a no-fault accident.
Yeah.
We backed into one another.
Yeah. With your carts, not your cars?
With my car. My car.
God, you keep doing this.
I know. And it was minimal damage. Their car wasn't damaged at all. And my car has a little dent in the bumper and the back taillight broke.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And Miles keeps referring to the back taillight that broke as the back headlight.
Oh, wow.
And I keep having to tell him, like, no, there's a word for that.
Yeah.
It's actually taillight.
Wow, he knows his parts, though. He's like, we could drive it home. With back
with
headlight.
One back headlight.
And you're like, no, well, Miles, no, well, Miles, well. No.
Yeah, just keep smashing cars.
Please stop smashing
cars. This is why I lived in New York.
I've got another one.
Can't smash a car if you don't have a car.
Petruchio is talking. That wasn't Petruchio before. It was like there are some other bros who were trying to get with
was it. What's Bogey called in the play?
They're all called like Gremio or Grumio. I can't remember. This is Petruchio. He says to, when he first is introduced to the dad, he says this.
J.J. Abrams has never been good at naming characters.
Yeah, no, he's not good at it.
Like, how unrealistic is the main character from Lost, his name?
Jack Shepard? Come on.
No one's called that.
No one's called that. Here's what he says. And you, good sir, pray, have you not a daughter called Katharina, fair and virtuous? And then the dad says, I have a daughter, sir, called Katharina.
That's good.
That's funny, right?
Hell of a burn, Will.
Yeah. I got a burn from this book as well, and then we'll leave.
The TVDO book?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same scene, but in the book, the movie book.
Okay. Yeah. How does it play out in this one?
Jordan Gordon Levitt says he's trying to find someone to date Katarina's cat so that he can date Bianca.
Would any of you be interested in dating Katharina Stratford?
And then this random guy who's not in the movie after that says,
maybe if we were the last two people alive and there were no sheep. Are there sheep?
Yeah, that's a good scene where they pull together these, like, just completely random set of people.
Yeah.
To see if any of them will date Katharina. But
can I say another funny it's not quite a burn, it's just another funny line that I liked. It's when they first or when Jordan Gordon Levitt is trying to convince the Joker to date Kat so he can date Bianca, and like he's like learning, Jordan Gordon Levitt is learning about how obsessed they all are with Bianca, and he says,
what is it with this chick, she have beer flavored nipples?
What an odd thing.
And he says it in a funny Australian accent. And then he explains later why he's Australian.
Oh, right. Yeah. He is Australian because...
He's like, I was Australian until I was 10.
Yeah. And then he moved why
I have the sexy accent.
Eat Cheetos and take care of his grandfather.
We got to go.
Yeah. We're running way over.
Yeah. We absolutely have to go. You know what else is on the soundtrack? Is a Semisonic song called FNT, which is from their first album.
There's so many good songs on the soundtrack. There was a song on the soundtrack that was so good that I had to go look it up.
Was it the Sister Hazel song?
No, it was...
There's a Cardigan song that's good, and there's a Sister Hazel song that's pretty good.
It was a song called Wings of a Dove by a band called Madness.
Oh, yeah, Madness. Yeah, that's a real ska band. Yeah.
I heard it, and I was like... This is everything like Vampire Weekend wishes they were.
Yeah, Madness is that's like a real band.
It was so good. I was like, I gotta look up Madness.
That's not like some second wave shit. We've got to go, and we have to also leave. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Baby Nation so very much for bearing with us. I would like to say that you must subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. You must also join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. You can support our show by going to bit.ly/rattlesnakejake, and you can buy our merch at bit.ly/bsccmerch. Please rate and review our show wherever you rate and review shows, and please subscribe if you're not subscribed, and tell a friend about the show. It's good. This week, I would like to tell you that we read a novel. The novel we read was, of course, called Mario 3.
Yeah, it's just called Mario 3. There's no subtitle.
And all the world's a fucking stage, people. And it really kind of baked our noodles this week. Yeah.
J.J. Abrams wrote that for Mario.
Next week, I don't know. Tanner and I have been talking about reading Outlander. I think we're going to have to talk about it in like earnestness tomorrow.
Oh, no. The boat has sailed on that.
The boat has sailed on it?
Well, I would have needed the time to get through the book.
What, one other day?
Four other days. We didn't talk about that yesterday. We talked about that on Friday.
Okay, fine. Well, then we're going to be reading something else next week. Then. I don't know what it is. Probably
a
book.
We're going to read a book. And it's going to have sex scenes because we're... Look at... Ugh.
Yeah, we need to. What? Look
I
at
am
us.
Absolutely...
Look
like,
at us. Completely flaccid. Yeah.
And have been for weeks because we can't find a dang romance book that has a steamy hot sex scene in it.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name's Tanner Greenring. What? Get out of my face. I don't have one. I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay. We're going to find a new outro, and we're not going to have you do it anymore. This has been an almost entirely failed 10 weeks of you being supposed to have an outro.
I'm not going to do it.
I never...
I want to
like
do it. I won't do it.
Here's what I'm going to do if I can, and I'm going to hate myself for this when I'm editing this. I'm going to try to pull up the audio of when you first said you were going to do this.
Yeah.
And everyone can listen to what I said.
I'm not going to do it.
And that'll be our outro, is what I said. I'm not
going to do it. You can't make me do it.
Goodbye, everybody. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I have a proposal.
Okay.
I have a pitch for you.
Okay.
We are suffering.
Okay.
Endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have an outro for this show.
Yes, true.
I would like to take it upon myself mm-hmm. to scour these novels.
Okay.
To find a suitable outro for every episode.
Okay.
Rip from the text.
Okay.
And I might need to do a little editorializing just to make things make sense for podcasting.
Okay.
But if, with your gracious permission, I would love to do the outro this week.
Okay, but I have a condition.
Yeah.
To make that run smoothly, and I feel like you're maybe incapable of this.
Yeah.
What needs to happen? No. What needs to happen is the following. At the end of the episode, I'm going to say, this week we read a novel. Then I'm going to say the novel. Then I'm going to say, next week we're going to be reading a novel. And then I'm going to say the novel for next week. And then, in the silence that ensues, you need to say, I'm Tanner Greenring.
Okay.
And then I say, I'm Jack Shepherd. And then you say the fucking outro. Can you do that?
I guess we'll see.
I kind of doubt it.
I guess we'll see.
Be very